G'day, g'day, g'day. Welcome to the first episode of the Web Dev with Matt podcast. In this podcast, I want to step you through an experience that I had pretty recently. At first it seemed like quite a frustrating experience, but turned out to be a wonderful experience, something that I really grew from, something that I learned a whole host from, and that is deploying my first Go app backed by SQLite database to fly.io. Now, if you're not familiar with fly.io, to quote their website, fly.io transforms containers into Linux micro VMs that run on their hardware in 30 plus regions and on 6 continents. I guess the last part is probably not as important. The fact of what it does, that being transforms containers, you could say Docker containers, but I guess if you want to use containerization terms, into Linux micro VMs. So I guess in short, you can containerize your app and then deploy it on their hardware, and they take care of a lot of heavy lifting, which is the rub of why I wanted to use a service such as them. Because for the longest time, I've found deployment or DevOps a frustrating thing to do. Yes, you have to do it at some point. You have to deploy an application, but I've found it oftentimes to be quite a challenge. I've approached it from different ways, using bare Git repositories with a manual deploy to that repository. I've run shell scripts. I've used tools like, I think it's PHP Deployer. I think that was the one. A host of other ones, I think, written in Ruby and Perl and so forth. I've got one that uses a GitHub workflow where there are two containers in the configuration. One is my app, and the other one uses, traffic. I'm not quite sure of the pronunciation. Mainly to provide like that reverse proxy to the app, but also integrating with Let's Encrypt, so it provides SSL TLS support. And while all of the processes worked, they were kind of quite, what would you say, quite fiddly. And what I really wanted to do was to be able to write code, write tests, add in various other sanity checks and so forth. In this particular case, go vet, go lint and so forth, and the static checker. And if those things pass as part of something like a GitHub workflow, then the deployment could just sort of be taken care of really simplistically. Ideally, yeah, wrapped up into an image that then boots as a container, but it's not a finicky process. I guess also what I wanted to do was to learn how to put it all together, but there not be so many moving parts in the process. So I went hunting around looking for something that would, well, hopefully, I assumed it existed, help me do just that. And something that I could start small with and then grow over the course of time. And I came across a number of options, but fly.io, I guess, stood out the most for me, and mainly because it didn't require me to even have something like traffic with Let's Encrypt. Their service does the same thing for all intents and purposes. I can deploy my app in a container, and they provide that, that SSL TLS reverse proxy support and so forth, along with load balancing, logging, and so on. So this isn't a sponsored episode. I'm not getting any money from them to talk about it. This is just sharing my experience. So the app itself, I guess as you might imagine, this is my first time deploying a Go app, was quite small. And what it does is it's a very simplistic app written in Go, backed by a SQLite database that is a simplistic URL shortener. It's a web-based app. You put in the URL that you want to shorten, a shortened URL is created for you. That information is then stored in the SQLite database, along with how many times the shortened URL has been clicked on, and it's kind of nicely made, very professional looking. I'll link to it in the notes for this episode by using Tailwind CSS. So I guess if you can kind of picture that, there isn't really a lot to do. But the SQLite database, being a flat file database, presented a bit of a challenge. And that's primarily around the fact that a SQLite database has to be on the same file system as the app that uses it. I think there are exceptions to that. I think it can be run over like a, not NTFS, like a remote file system like Samba or something, but I think the performance would drop through the floor. Fly.io does have, I think it's LiteFS, but I've only kind of scantily read through the documentation. I haven't tried to implement it. So I'm not sure of the ins and outs of that and the performance implications. Anyway, back to the fact it's a flat file database. The challenge there was if I'm also deploying the app as an image or as a container based on an image, well, how do I deploy the database and then run migrations in subsequent or future releases without losing the data that may have been accumulated over the course of those deployments? I guess this is probably not really a challenge, but it's not something I'd done in the past. I'd always been on a team where someone else handled that. And I guess because I think it's tactile person, I like to be hands-on, I really learn from that process. Without having gone through it, I kind of was struggling to get it in my head. So what it came down to, though, I guess to kind of have a long story short, was through Fly.io, I connected an external persistable volume to the container, and that was made possible through the configuration file called fly.toml. And you can specify through there like the details for the like where you're going to mount that persistable volume onto your container or micro VM's file system. And I just effectively did that for the directory where the database would be stored. So that was the first thing kind of out of the way. If I could then get the database to be provisioned automatically, then any data in that database would be persisted across multiple reboots and deployments and so forth. So the question was how? And I guess what I tried to do first, mistakenly, was provision the database as part of the image build process. But that, I guess, sort of only makes sense on the first ever deployment, because after that, mounted persistable volume will be what's referred to, not the database inside the image. So I kind of toyed around with a few different processes and then settled on using a migration tool called dbmate, also written in Go. And with that, I created a series of migration files. Gladly, they just use pure DDL statements. So kind of, there was nothing to learn from that aspect, but running it was a little bit of a challenge because Fly.io has this option that lets you run scripts and tooling, I think just before or kind of just at the end of the deployment when the micro VM's up and running. But I was having issues or something at that point in the process, however it works internally, the persistable volume wasn't available, so I couldn't do that. I tried to run the migrations as a step in the GitHub workflow. That also didn't work because I think the volume wasn't available at that point in the deployment. Sorry. What was happening was that the app attempts to open the SQLite database when it starts. And if the database isn't there, it fails. And so I couldn't first deploy the app, which involved starting the Go binary, but provisioning the database afterwards. So long story short, what I ended up doing was creating a funky little small shell script, which would run the provisioning process. And then change the Docker file for building the image to set its command directive to run another shell script, which first calls the database migration shell script. And then when that's finished, starts the Go binary and puts that into the foreground, listening for future requests. Took a little bit of fiddling to get there. I don't think that it falls afoul of Docker's Dockerfile best practices. I actually think it is quite in line with what they recommend. It's been a very fun process. Loads and loads and loads of reading, lots of experimentation. A little bit egg on my face when I first thought that there was just like something wrong with the Fly.io service because my micro VM would sort of start and then stop 5 minutes later. Realized I hadn't quite read the docs as much as I should. Always good to do that. Hats off to their docs though. Just want to say that. Really, really good docs. I'm not totally convinced on how they've structured them, but the information's extremely thorough. So hat tip there. Wonderful experience now after about 4 days. As I think I mentioned earlier in this episode, I blogged about the entire process. So if you want a lot more specifics, a lot more detail, I'll have a link to that in the show notes for this episode. If you haven't tried fly.io, check it out. Really, really good. Really worth giving a go. Beautiful interface, by the way. A lot of time, thought, and effort has gone into it, I think. So that's it for this episode. If you like it, I'd love it if you could give me some feedback for the episode. If you're listening to this on Spotify or whatever service you're preferring to use, it'd be great if you could subscribe to be notified when new episodes come out. This is only number one. I hope to bring them out at least once a week. I hope you'll like the journey that I take you on. I hope you learn from my ups and my downs. And don't laugh at me too much as I admit to the mistakes I make along the way. This is a pretty much warts and all process. And anyway, I won't blabber on. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.